And welcome again. Actually, no disclosures to make, no relationship with anybody apart from me and my co-authors. And we still acknowledge Parker College for keeping us on board. Yeah, the title here is Chiropractor's Role and the Patient's Compliance to Health Promotion and Advice. So we want to use the people who actually use chiropractic care to tell us whether they think that the chiropractors are actually doing health promotion with them and whether they are actually complying to the recommendations that their providers are giving them. And I still acknowledge the authors with whom I worked. First of all, I'll talk about Dr. Wish to acknowledge Dr. Will Evans, who is present here with us, and the other DC on the team, there's Dr. Martha Fellini and Dr. Ron Rupert. The others are biostatisticians. The background again, we are fully aware of the fact that there is a changing trend in the actual causes of disease. Infectious diseases have been the issues for a while, then chronic diseases, then for a time now, obesity and diabetes have been things that we focus on. And modifiable behavioral risk factors are actually issues that people think that are contributing to death in the United States. So if doctors can focus on those things, maybe we'll be seeing improved health. And we also are aware of the paradigm shift, which I mentioned before, in provision of healthcare. People start focusing on prevention a lot so that we keep people from being sick rather than waiting for them to be sick, and then we try to address. Then the growth of chiropractic, of course, we all know that. So if chiropractic is actually growing, and this is a trend that we hope to observe, we expect chiropractors to stay on board. I asked this question before, and I said something concerning, do you chiropractors think you're doing health promotion? Are you doing primary prevention? It's another time, second time I'm asking that question. So what do you think? Okay. The importance of integrating healthy behavior to counseling into healthcare is again universal. We talked about that. Healthcare provider recommendation has been shown to be predictors to future health. And also future healthy behaviors. And we want to find out whether patient adherence to this recommendation is would differ based on the type of provider who is doing the job. Would it differ? And I don't know about that yet. And my objective here is to explore the use of health promotion advice by United States chiropractors, examine its association with patients' compliance, and then we'll try to make sure we'll compare the effort a little bit in a very mild way with general medical doctors. I warn that we shouldn't go into fighting. And the recommendations here are advice on weight loss again, advice on increased exercise, and on diet change. And the method I discussed before too, a simple cross-sectional study doing secondary data analysis from the National Health Interview Survey 2006 version and the adult core sample. Statistical approach is basically logistic regression, binary and multiple. The results, we have this distribution. We had seen before that we had in all 24,000 respondents in that survey, and they were mostly female. Again, the young people, young adults, less than 40 years old were dominant in that group. The white folks were dominant too. And looking at the body mass indices, we saw that normal people, most of the people were normal, but over 6,000 out of the 24,000 were obese. And when we asked the people, who did you see within the past 12 months, or who did you talk to in terms of healthcare providers, that's what we saw. We had seen this distribution before. Okay, I brought this slide here just to emphasize the fact that people see both chiropractors and MDs, just focusing on these two groups. And there are some people who actually see both, and then there's some that see only. So if you look at that, I pull out the green there and try to blow it off. Most of the green have seen both. Very few see only GCs. And then most of this red have seen only MDs, very few. So the comparison becomes a little bit tricky. Without using rates, the group is incomparable. Okay, patient's compliance now and the advice given. This slide is simply emphasizing the fact that these are the proportions of the people that giving the advice and those who respond to it. Maybe I'll go to the next slide. We'll see there are there. Those are numbers. Okay. If we look at this, I try to show that 18.9% of all the patients were advised on weight loss and 84.6% actually complied. 24.8% were advised on with increased exercise and 68.6% complied. 20.0% were advised on diet change and 81.2% complied. In overall, putting everything, defining health promotion in terms of putting all this together to define what we mean by health promotion, 30.5% of the patients have been advised on these things. So are we doing it or are not doing it? This is general, not only DCs or not only MD, just all the healthcare providers seeing these people. Are we actually doing something? And so do we see something like a flag that when we are advising our patients, they actually want to do something? Look at that, overall 88% comply. So the patients really do listen to us. So they give us the opportunity to drive their lives. That's what this is, that's what I'm taking out of it. Advice based on provider type. Now try to make some comparison with these doctors, MD, DC, and PT. I'm bringing PT in here basically because I understand that comparing on health promotion recommendation, PT plays a role, not because I want to put them into the comparison group per se, but they play a role, and I want us to see that. And I'll take an opportunity to discuss what role it plays here. So if we look at this, we would see that DC will do less advice on weight loss again compared to the others. It's even smaller, it's a bit higher with, in terms of increased exercise, but it's still smaller compared to the others. And on diet change, they're doing much smaller work than even on weight loss compared to the others. And this is the compliance thing. If you're advised, how do they comply? Who is more likely to comply? If DCs talk to patients about diet, they comply more than the other doctors who talk to their patients on diet change. And if you see, although they do smaller work, the compliance is as good as every other thing, except an increased exercise that their PTs will do. Their patients will basically, they will want to obey more than the rest of the group. This is strictly on chiropractors now. You look at, you compare your compliance and your rate at which you give advice and the compliance. That's what this slide is showing us. And so you have the chance to read there. If you advise your patient, 12.5% of those that were advised by DCs, over 82.7% actually complied. 17.3% of those that were advised increased exercise, 69.4% complied. 11.0% that were advised on diet change, 84.8% will comply. And yeah, we've seen that overall, 89.7% compliance rate was observed among DCs. That's good. And this is what we have. We have 88.2% among MDs. This is just among MDs. This slide is just among MDs. The previous slide was among DCs. I try to put it in different ways so that people don't think that there's any bias in trying to favor a group. I want people to actually see what they are doing and to consider doing better. That's the intention. The role of BMI. What is BMI actually playing in this relationship? Body mass index again, because there's this big focus about it. I try to find out what is the role. Is it an effect modifier? Is it a confounder? Is it a mediator? And that type of thing. So we need to be sure we understand that role. If you see among the people with normal overweight and obese, you see the rates among the normal people. Let's compare this to among the normal people. Yeah, the rate within the patients you see, MDs still do a better job overall. DC will want to do almost a similar amount of work with MDs when it comes to DC do a better job than MD with people with normal weight. And among the people with overweight, it turns out to be a little almost the same, but this is still, the rate is a little bit higher. Then with obese, MDs, the rate is higher. We've seen that specifically for arthritis, and that's still the general trend overall. And I was asking them what happened, what is the trouble about giving people advice and they complying. If they actually do comply, their health are better. That's what this slide is showing me. Because, yeah, we see here that there was a tendency that those who complied and they were advised and they complied, their health were much better than those who than going worse. And then those overall, most of them, their health were the same. But at least we saw observe that they were better than being worse. We got some few measures of effect if you want to actually know exactly.
Sorry, you have more time
than that. Okay, sorry. I was going to write, but it's all right.
You got more time.
But do you really understand me when I talk?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, let's look at... Okay, let's look at measures of effect. Yeah, measures of effect, the first things that we've been seeing, they're just measures of mobility, just the frequency of you doing it. But we want to find out whether there is an effect you're doing it, whether that is significant or not. So we found out that, there is a significance in the advice given on weight loss by DC. And even the other doctors, I'm emphasizing DC because of my audience, okay? So there's that emphasis that we can see that there's a 18% increase odds that when DCs are likely to advise the patients on weight loss, and that is significant this time around. So generally good, but specific condition that we saw before, I want that more job be done. Then on increased exercises, also over 18% increase odds, and on diet changes, 12% increase odds. And on compliance, there is a 26% increased odds that people will be able to comply when DC advised them, but that was not significant. And on exercise, there was a 14% increased odds, but also not significant. And on diet change, there was a 25% increased odds. Still, it wasn't significant. So although we're seeing the trends, the numbers are there, but it's not enough for us to claim. So what are we pulling out of this? Go one step back. Chiropractors were less likely to advise patients compared to medical doctors at the rate of, there are 0.38 times less likely, that's what it's showing, compared to MDs. And that is really significant after adjusting for the role of BMI, adjusting for the role of PT. So they're less likely. I was hesitant to bring this comparison, but that's the truth, if you look at it. And then in general, patients who receive the recommendations are always 10 times more likely to comply in general. So if you're advised by a patient, they will comply. And the thing here is that once patients are advised and they comply, we see that their health tend to be better than being worse. This is comparison with that. We say there's a 21% increase odds that if you're advised and you comply, you do better. So, and that is that conclusion I'm trying to throw. The patients tend to comply with their doctors, and those who do gain benefit from it. So we should think that this is an important thing to do. MDs generally are still doing a better job. That's the conclusion I'm making here. And overall, the doctors all together need to do a better job. Everybody put together. Yeah, this study was, the earth is not round, and so this study wasn't free of limitations. The first thing is that there was a low response rate among chiropractors or chiropractic utilization, and that limited the statistical power maybe to detect significance. So some of the significance I did not see might have been due to the response rate. Secondary data analysis, oh, there's always issues about that in the sense that we have to try, questions are not well delineated always to answer what you want. So you want to start making a lot of assumptions. And some of those assumptions, we don't have time to get them because the questions were not very specific. But for this particular set of analysis, a lot of the questions were good because I mentioned those. But as you said, you would have loved to see them strictly for some conditions that are well delineated, and so you may be able to make a more meaningful comparison. Dealing always with subsetted data set compromise the whole design structure. So there's a loss of information when information is collected for a big sample. There's a lot of those consideration to make a random distribution of information and the like. And when you start doing subsetted data analysis, you start putting things into stratums or in strata, a lot of loss of information there. Then we are obvious of bias issues, right? When you start asking people questions, people have to think. So there's recall bias, and there's a great deal of misclassifications that we do when we start putting data together, information, and all those things, not really giving the same information that we really want to get. And then the last thing, apart from when we're comparing MDs and DCs, those are not the only healthcare providers we have. Also, there's a lot of specialty issues involved. And so this comparison, we should take them with a pinch of a salt, because it's not a perfect comparison that we could make. But we need to still motivate this discussion and encourage people to do something better. My recommendation, which I made before, I considered before doing the previous presentation, was that it will be interesting for us to explore the use of health promotion model by healthcare providers in the U.S. in managing specific health conditions such as arthritis, low back pain, migraine, depression, and even emotional problems. And it was based on this recommendation that I started the other study that was presented a priori, because we want to go into specific conditions, and we look at arthritis. Yet, even by the end of that, we saw that there was a need to still go and do more work, even with that. So research will never end, and we are encouraged to keep looking at those things. And I want to thank you again by acknowledging these people who worked with me. Thank you. Are there any questions? Oh, let me go on. Yeah. Beautiful question. What do you guys think?
You can't answer that because you're using an existing data set.
Beautiful. Did you get that?
It would also depend on where you drew your samples from, what community you drew, not you, but what community, you know, was the data drawn from?
Okay.
Going back to her comment on if it was drawn from a community, community where the people in that community were not able to walk any distance because of problems in the neighborhood, or not be able to access fruits and vegetables, good food, because of not having transportation, things like that.
Okay. The first comment made there was a good answer to your question. And the second one, I just want to add a little bit because you've raised another issue. With the National Health Interview Survey, it is it's a random sample, random representation of the U.S. population. So they do that. They try to make an effort to get a good representation of the country. So they will have taken into consideration all those things. And then there is weighting factor given, which I use in overall before anything is presented. I try to use those weights in order to compare the, to give information concerning weights, frequencies. However, most of often, we will not use the weights in doing measures of effect because it makes the sample too big, and when the sample is big, statistician will tell you you see significance even when there is supposed to be no significance. So at times we play down a little bit with those weights. That's the reason. But however, as maybe he answered that part, so I'm not talking about that anymore. Yeah, next question. Yeah, both of them were within 1 year, past 12 months. That's how the questions are structured. Within the past 12 months, did your doctor tell you to do this? Did you do it? You know, did you do it? So, and those questions were the best delineated questions I've seen with the National Health Interview Survey with respect to chiropractic that I could manage, because the questions were a little bit more specific than the general ones I'd done before. Question.
No studies I've ever seen that showed greater than 50% compliance on any kind of a doctor recommendation. So I think that self-reported data has inherent weaknesses.
Good. And yeah, see, I acknowledge that part. And one thing I want you guys to get, which is very interesting, is the fact that we want to hear our patients tell us what they think we are doing. So they will do this self-report thing, but it's important. I have done studies now that are on the pipeline about chiropractors doing this same thing just to run everything and close it up. I went back right to schools to talk to students and find out what they think. Students said they were going to do it. They're going to do it. What I'm doing now, I'm finding out whether they are doing it, and I'm doing a retrospective. I'm going to the files, the patient files. So it's to really see whether they're doing it, because it's, what the students said they would do is very high. It's 99%. But we've seen from the few that the doctors are not doing. When we ask the few that were met, they said they're doing it. In fact, in this room, people said they're doing. You see what I'm saying? So we'll have to cope with those things. But as you said, they would like to blame, say that they're doing well, and they blame you guys, the doctors, that you're not doing well. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.